Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Place Ministries and Using My Keys broadcast. This is your host, Pastor Valerie Burrell, happily joined today with my husband, Benny Burrell, and our topic today is authority. It's about authority. What authority? Asking the question, what authority? This morning, as much as this is a teaching to empower each other, it's really a pretty tragic commentary with the state of how things are with our children and then with adults in the aspect of respecting authority and those who have rule over them. I was, I had some mixed emotions, but on last night I was reading Facebook and one of my friends, Kimberly Phillips Dabney, had posted something that ties very much into what we're talking about this morning, and I'm going to read that for you. But Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus, thanking you for another opportunity to come and share your word and empower your people. God, in this earth that we live in, there is so much going on where people are not respecting authority and those who have rule over them, and it's causing chaos. And God, we know that you are not the author of chaos. So, Father, as we minister this morning, we thank you, God, that we were planting seeds that will bring about change in the minds of our children, change in the mindset of our adults, oh God, changing in the mindsets of how the world system is running and when it deals with authority. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' name and count it done. Amen and amen. So this is Kim's post. Let me apologize in advance to anyone that I might offend with this post. I have never birthed a child. I have mothered a few, but mom is not a title that I've ever been called. Just now, while picking up a few things in Kroger, I was a witness to some behavior that made my blood pressure rise. Tears come to my eyes, anger to overwhelm me. This little dude cursed, spit on, kicked, yelled, and cussed some more at his mom. At first, I thought he might have some emotional troubles. God knows we are all allowed some. This wasn't the case. After watching more closely, if they weren't in the line behind me, I would have run for cover fast. The only thing his mom did was curse and yell back, and finally she popped him in his mouth, to which he yelled, "You itch." Well, the word that rhymes with itch, you know what I'm saying. I almost fainted. Perhaps I'm out of touch, but I declare my grand would look at me with eyes of steel, and I shrunk into whatever small space was available for me to hide. Never in a million years would I curse her or spit or even talk back. Say what? Wait a minute. The entire scene has left me spent, and I need to lay down as a result. That is all. What authority? This scripture, I'm going to start with children. It says children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have long life in the land. Children, obey your parents. Now, in this account that Kim witnessed at the grocery store, clearly we don't see this child obeying a parent. To the very contrary, this child is cursing his parent, spitting and hitting on his parent, and the only recourse the parent has was to curse back at the child and finally just pop him in his mouth. So what's the issue? Has society become so afraid of law? Because there are a lot of laws out there now that will say if a parent reprimands, disciplines their child, they're going to have to face the law. So instead of us being parents and, you know, not sparing the rod with our children because we love them, if we're not going to spare the rod and let the child be spoiled and act out in public, because, you know, if he acting out in public, he surely takes over at home where no one else is seeing this. So we've allowed the law to take over, and then ultimately what's happening? Our children who are so out of whack, not respecting authority in the parents or grandparents, in turn go to the schools and not respecting authority, what's going to end up inevitably? They're going to end up locked up. So we turn our children over to the law by not disciplining them, by not teaching them that they have to respect authority. So my husband works in the school system. He's a security personnel. And he sees behaviors on a constant basis. Honey, what do you think? Why are children not obeying?
Well, I see most of not being respected by the other kids, not being respected by the adults that are in the building with them. And, of course, respect those mutually. So when you one disrespect the other, then that's what you get. That's what I see most of. It's just not being respectful to one another.
So he doesn't see respect or authority being reciprocated. In that, if a child is coming to school, a child has to obey. Now, I'm going to treat the child with proper care. So, you know, that being decent is reciprocated. But when it comes to authority, the teachers in authority, the principals in authority, the parents are the authority figures, but our children are now all over the place. It's just a state of chaos. So somebody might say, well, Val, why are you talking about this? What's the issue? This is the issue. My husband and I are parents to 6 children, grandparents to 8 children. Now, we won't tell you that our children have done everything right. We'll do everything right. Our grandchildren haven't done everything right, and they're going to learn some lessons, and, you know, they're going to, things happen. But one thing that we have instilled in our children is that they have to respect themselves first, respect each other, and then show respect to those who have authority over them. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear for the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. So I pose a question. Do we have no conscience when it comes to doing right or wrong? Do we have no consciousness as it relates to respecting authority? In my class these last few weeks, we've been sharing about children and being advocates for children and the voice for children and, you know, how to deal with the behaviors of children in different settings. And a teacher posed a question to us this week about, you know, the authority and how do we eliminate the behaviors we're seeing with children being addressed by authority. And I thought back to the many instances that we've seen over the last month where children have been manhandled, it appears, by security in school. We don't see the whole picture, so we don't know whether it was warranted, whether it was provoked. We don't see the whole picture. However, we see an outcome that gets media attention. Why did this occur? Why was there even the slightest bit of lack of authority for this to occur? Now, some people might say, well, you're wrong for saying that because those kids ain't do nothing. I can't say that because I won't dare. But I can relate to what Kim posts because I've seen similar incidences where you're out in public and young people are out there, they will walk over the elderly like they're not there. If someone speaks to them at the store and tell them don't do that, they would laugh in their face as to say, you don't tell me what to do. You know, I've heard children, when you speak to them to try to reprimand them, they'll say to you, you're not my mother or you're not my father. But they don't even respect their own mother and father. So what do we got to do to empower our children to get them in the right place, to get their mindset changed so that they can live a long life and be productive? What do we have to do? What do you suggest, hon?
The only answer is going back to the Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the missing key. We're not training our kids up to follow the word of God, and that's why the parent in that instance you was speaking of said foul words to the child. That's not a godly way to carry on business.
So train the child up in the way that he should go so that he won't depart from it. Where does that responsibility lie? Now, in this account that we read from Kim, the child got derogatory towards the parent, and the parent got derogatory towards the child in return. So we have to know that what this child exhibited was a learned behavior. So if children are not in a home where they're being nurtured and trained in the things of God and the ways of God, trained to fear God, if the parents are not there, how do we expect the children to get to that place where they can respect authority? Because this is what happens. That child acts up, curses a parent, parent curses back. This is a trend. So this child may be 8 years old, 9 years old, thinking, huh, I can cuss my mama out. I wish that so-and-so would say something to me because I'm going to tell her. So then he's going to go to school. And when the teacher says something to him, yeah, you don't tell me what to do, blah, 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 back at the teacher and back at the principal and back at the counselor. Now, police authorities get called in, and they go act like they all bad. Then they locked up. Then they behind bars, and there's nothing there to train them back to a place of stability. I know a lot of times you hear them people talk about how when you go into the prisons and you go into the jails, it's a time to allow you to retrain your thinking and get back to a place so that when you come back out, you'll be a productive citizen. Really? I don't think so. I don't think that's how the system works. We're not going to go there. We're talking about authority. We're talking about authority. I have a passion for this because we are seeing too many children be isolated, be talked down, be put into categories based on their race, creed, or color, and not be given the attention that they need to make them the productive citizens we know that they're capable of being. So I'm speaking to parents. I'm speaking to parents this morning. Because parents, it's our responsibility. Our responsibility. I'm not just saying it's yours because it takes a village to raise a child. It's our responsibility to train our children in the way that they should go. It's our responsibility. If your child is a minor and your child gets in trouble, the police officer is going to deal with that child, but guess what? They're also going to come and knock on your door. Am I right, honey? Yes. They're going to come and knock on your door and ask you, sir, ma'am, we have your child. Your child was in XYZ place doing XYZ thing. Why was your child? We're going to have to take you in, too. So when we don't train our children, not only do our children suffer, but we're going to have to suffer some consequences. That scripture that I read to you in Romans 13, 1 through 7, it says, when you don't respect authority, knowing that authority is set in place by God, what you're doing is going against the will of the Father. Authority figures are not placed in your life to give you a hard time. They're placed in your life to aid you, to help you, to grow you, not to bring harm to you. What do you want to add, huh? Okay, I hear you, Holy Ghost. So Ephesians 6, 1 and 3 again says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. So parents, guess what? You might have had your child at a young age, and you feel like, well, I haven't had a chance to live my life. You know, we're going to grow up together as buddies. I hear that. Some parents feel like, you know, this is my child, but we friends. Your child will get friends. They need a parent. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. So if you're living a worldly lifestyle, if you're hanging out, getting drunk, getting high, sleeping around, lying, stealing, cheating, living a Burger King life, thinking that you got it going on because you manipulating people to get what you want, your child's not going to honor you. They're going to mimic you. And when you begin to start seeing your child, seeing yourself in your child, that's when you go, I don't know where they get that from. Look in the mirror. They got it from you. They got it from you. The cursing, the lying, our little girls, 5 and 6 years old, twerking like they something grown. Our little boys walking around with their pants sagging like they behind bars, like the prisoners wear their clothes. Come on, they get that from you because that's what you put before them. We've got to change. As parents, we have got to change what we're showing our children so that they can be empowered and live a life that will benefit them. I commend my husband often. My husband is one in a million. He is one in a million. My husband is kind, mild-mannered, quiet when he needs to be, but has a voice that roars like a lion when he needs to be. He's respectful to all. And he's an advocate for change for our children, much like I am. My husband is retired law enforcement. So he sees things. We see things in a different context when we look at situations. We look from two different perspectives. But the outcome of our both of us viewing the situation is, how do we find a resolve? Where's the issue and how can we fix it? parents, where's the resolve? What is going on in your life at this very moment that keeps you from being the parent, things that you experienced in your childhood that's now driven you to act this way? Sometimes they're things that we have encountered. They're called generational curses that we carry from one generation to the next and that generation to the next. Why? Because no one addresses it. No one takes the responsibility to say enough is enough. They hurt me. So it is what it is. I be nasty. So what? Ain't nobody getting over on me, but is that really what you want to train your child? Is that really how you want to raise your child up? Mother, is that really how you want your 5-year-old and 6-year-old to go around with stuff all the way up to her crack at age 6 and she walking around twerking on boys at age 6? Is that really what you want? That's not cute. That's not cute. But that's what we've been allowing and laughing at it. That's not cute. When children are talking about having oral sex in elementary school, that's not cute. Why are we not training our children that sex is supposed to be saved for marriage? It's not just something you do because you ain't got nothing better to do. But they're doing what they see you do. Parents, we've got to do better. We've got to strengthen our own relationship with the Father. We're going to be held accountable for this stuff. So we've got to get it together. Honey, what would you share with them?
I just always revert back to the biblical principles and try to, I think it's Titus 2, second chapter, 7th verse, show yourself in all respect to be a model for good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. Those are the things that always revert back to, and it's the only way that we can get our kids to do the right things is to always do the right things ourselves. We got to be good role models, you know, because that's who we emulate. We emulate our role models. Whatever we think is a good role model, that's what we do. So that would be my suggestions.
Thank you. Be that role model. And you know, so many of us wear a banner called Christian, yet we're endorsing the behavior of a twerking and a lying and a cursing and all these things. You'd be like, lady, please, ain't nobody perfect. No, I'm not saying you are perfect, but I'm telling you, in the words you can find that we're being made perfect through Christ, through his suffering. He went on the cross for a reason. He died for our sins so that we might have life and life abundantly. But if we're going to fall prey to the world and do everything the world says is cool, then we're going to have to deal with the wrath of that. I don't know about you. I'm grateful, say, on this day, that our children haven't been locked up. They're not. Yeah, they make some babies. That'll happen. But we know where they are. We know where our grandchildren are. We know when we talk to them, they're going to talk back to us in a manner that's becoming. Why? Because that's how we talk to them. We love them. We show them we love them, not just by giving them everything they want and ask for, but by also being that stern voice when we have to be, being that stern hand when we have to be. Why? Because we understand the importance of respecting authority. See, when we don't nip it in the bud when they're children, they grow up to be manipulating, backstabbing adults. One's in the boardroom waiting for an opportunity to get the boss. One's in the conference room, sending a text message or instant message to say, let's have a sidebar after this meeting. I've got an idea. Those with hidden agendas, trying to manipulate the system for their own benefit. I hear you. Some of you are saying, well, that's how the world is. Yeah, that's how the world is. But the word tells us we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're set apart because of our relationship with Christ. So I'm going back to this. Parents, if you're not in the Lord, if you're not walking upright, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, this may speak to why your family is the way it is. Your children are acting the way they're acting because you're lost. In Empowerment Place Ministries, our goal, our mission is to aid individuals through the word of God, to empower them to overcome whatever situations you're facing in life so that you can live a life full, so that you can live a life on purpose. But if you're in the world, you're not going to be able to experience those things because the enemy is using you up. Yes, he is. He's using you because he has a plan, not just for you, but for your seed and your seed seed, because he doesn't want to see them live on purpose. But I want to encourage you, I want to empower you this morning that it's time to make a change. Time to make a change. Parents, it's time for you to get up from your do-nothing stance and stop trying to be your child's friend and be your child's parent. Don't let them talk to you any kind of way. Don't let them raise their hand at you. Be their parent because you love them. Be their parent. Teach them what authority is. Teach them the responsibilities of doing the right thing. We can no longer let them just get away with it. And it's for your own benefit. It's for your own benefit. As he read in Titus, we've got to be the example. Be that godly example. Set that example that's pleasing to God, that your child will look up to. How often is it when they say, I'm going to call your parent, your kid be like, I don't even want my mama to come up in the school. Oh, Lord. They say, is that your mama? You'd be like, no. They don't even want to see you because of the example you set before them. It's time to get it together. It's time to get it together. We've got to respect authority. We as parents have to be the example to teach our children to respect authority because we want them to have long lives. We want them to honor those who have rule over them. And in order for them to do it, they have to see us doing it as well. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this teaching moment. We thank you for what you've spoken in our spirits, God, and we will be mindful of the seed that's been planted, God. We thank you that change is going to take place, God, that we're going to change our mindset. We're going to change what people see in us. We're going to be that example that you ask us to be in your word, oh, God. We will be the living epistle being read of men, and it will be a good read. We thank you, God, for relationships being restored between parents and children. God, that the parents will be the parent and stop being the friend. We thank you for it this morning, God. We thank you for it this morning, God. We thank you. We even pray for that parent that Kim wrote about, that parent and that child, God. We thank you now for turning a situation around for them this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We adore you. And we thank you. And count these things done now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Listen, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We pray that this has been helpful to you. Utilize it. We challenge you every day that you do something to empower yourself. And once you've been empowered, take the responsibility to empower someone else. God bless you all. Until next time.